From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up on this first day of spring, atheist chaplains? Sounds like an oxymoron. But that's what the U.S. Navy is currently considering. Conservative members of Congress are saying, whoa, wait just a moment. This would squander precious resources and open the Corps to almost anything in the years ahead. Senator Roger Wicker of Mississippi, who is leading the charge to keep the Chaplains Corps faith-based, joins me in just a moment. And earlier today, I was on the steps of the Supreme Court for a rally in support of care pregnancy clinics across the nation as justices heard oral arguments today in a case involving the National Institute of Family and Life Advocates. At issue in the case is whether pro-life advocates must advertise abortion services to clients or face burdensome fines, penalties, and possible closure. We'll talk with Senior Counsel Kevin Terrio with Alliance Defending Freedom, who represented the clients in this case. He'll be here to sort out all the details and give us their take on what the justices had to ask about what they said today in the oral arguments. Also, lawmakers are racing to finalize a spending bill to avoid yet another government shutdown if a budget isn't passed by Friday. Congressman Andy Biggs of Arizona will be here to give us the latest on the negotiations. All right, the website, TonyPerkins.com. If you miss anything on your way home, you can check it out later. There, it's all archived, TonyPerkins.com. Also, let me remind you, pastors, Watchmen on the Wall, our national briefing here in Washington, May the 23rd through the 25th. Find out more, go to TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T. Perkins. All right, there's been a debate over atheist military chaplains going on now for a number of years. I know that sounds like, well, why in the world would you even be debating that? Well, the debate has, as I said, has been going on. It surfaced again when secular humanist Jason Heap's application to become a Navy chaplain was denied back in 2014. He sued unsuccessfully, but other groups, including the Military Association of Atheists and Freethinkers, have pushed to allow non-religious chaplains, and so he is now trying again. Recently, House members led by Congressman Doug Lamborn of Colorado, along with 22 senators led by Roger Wicker, have asked the Navy to deny the application of an atheist, a secular humanist, to serve in the chaplain's corps. Senator Wicker of Mississippi joins us now. Senator, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, Tony, thanks for having me, and I'm talking to you from the Senate cloakroom. So thank you for helping us get the message out about this.
Well, it's an important issue, and I want to thank you for leading out on the Senate side on this. You had an op-ed recently published on FoxNews.com.
Right.
You're an Air Force veteran, and you say the chaplains serve religious needs, not philosophical preferences.
Well, absolutely. You know, Tony, when at some point you think you've heard it all,
yeah,
and then something new like this comes along. And of course, you did mention there had been a court decision about this. But here's the reason I'm worried. This new application by the atheist who would like to be a Navy chaplain has cleared the Navy Chaplain Advisory Board. So they've actually taken a positive step toward making this a reality. It's not necessarily going to happen, but I'll tell you, in this day and age, when things that you never ever thought you'd hear about are becoming a reality, this is something to be mobilized about. And I do appreciate Doug Lamborn and Vicki Hartzler and her Values Action Team in the House for highlighting this issue. And, you know, really, I guess if I'd had more time, I could have gotten more than 22 of my colleagues in the Senate to join me in this effort. But the time was of the essence. But we are one step toward a DOD where a secular humanist atheist can be a chaplain. So I would hope Americans will rise up of whatever faith.
Right. Senator, I think you bring up a really good point, and
the DOD not to do this.
I mean, you bring up a really good point, and that is that, you know, this looks foolish on its face. And so some people just laugh it off. An atheist chaplain, right. I mean, don't you have anything better to do in Washington to come up with these brain teasers? But the reality is if you don't pay attention to it, you know, people will just act like, okay, well, nobody's bothered by this, and they'll just push it on through. As you said, the Navy chaplain's appointment and retention eligibility advisory group recommended that he be accepted to serve as a humanist chaplain. The chief of Navy chaplains reviews that recommendation. So there's a couple more steps in the process. So this can be stopped. But, you know, frankly, I have to ask the question, Senator. You know, I know that the military inherited a lot of problems, or the Trump administration, a lot of problems in the military from the previous administration, but this isn't necessarily one of them. Secretary of Defense General Mattis, a retired general, now Secretary of State, he could nip this in the bud, make it go away.
Well, I think he could, and I hope he will. The president's the commander in chief, and I hope it doesn't have to go that high because he's got a lot more life and death matters to attend to. But I would hope that eventually, if it came to it, the president as commander in chief would say, "No, this has gone way out of control, and we don't need to do it." To me, it's the sort of thing that Donald Trump wouldn't mind. Taking a little heat over, because I think,
right.
Frankly,
I agree.
I would have to say 75% of Americans, surely, I haven't seen a poll, but surely three-fourths of Americans would say it's ridiculous to have an atheist chaplain.
I mean,
actually, the chaplains perform a wonderful service. I am an Air Force veteran, and an Air Force Reserve veteran, and we appreciate what they've done, and they do have to be careful. They don't proselytize like people in my Southern Baptist denomination do. They realize that there's a broad spectrum of faiths in the military, but all we want them to do, frankly, all we want DOD to do is follow their own guidelines.
Right.
A chaplain must be a religious ministry professional, and if they will just follow that, and that's defined as an individual endorsed to represent a religious organization and to conduct its religious observances and ceremonies, they will just follow their own guidelines. We'll be okay here. But I've seen these things get out of hand before, and so we need to take action.
Right,
I agree. We could flood the Pentagon with just requests by ordinary citizens. Don't do this.
When you look at what the previous administration did to the Pentagon, I put nothing past that entity now, even though it's under a new administration. And I haven't, and I don't know if you've spoken to the president about this. I mean, the conversation I've had recently with him, and it's been a month or so, but it was on other issues. I doubt this has even come to his attention. I would think he would expect his Secretary of State and others that he has appointed to deal with this because, on its face, it's ridiculous that should even be considered. But I want to be clear about something, because I know that you are not saying it, I'm not saying it, that atheists do not belong in the military, but allowing them to serve and allowing them to be in the pulpit are two different things, being spiritual advisors. Those who are
You are exactly right. You're exactly right.
The humanist,
we don't have a religious test for military service, and under the First Amendment, that would be illegal. So you're absolutely right there.
But what we're saying is
we wouldn't have very many atheists, but that's their right.
Yeah, and what we're saying is, for those that do have faith, they should have the confidence to know that the chaplain's corps has not been diluted with those who have who believe that there is no God. That just makes no sense whatsoever. Senator, before we run out of time, I want to transition to a couple of other issues because on Capitol Hill this week, a lot going on as the two chambers are working to come to a agreement on a spending bill, $1.2 trillion. There's issues about sanctuary cities. And I know that you've spoken out against California's sanctuary city policies in addition to other things. And we're looking at potentially, you know, spending our money as citizens of this country to enforce the laws and not reward those who refuse to uphold the law.
That's right. Well, I voted for an amendment a couple of weeks ago to deny funding to sanctuary cities. And then when this issue came up a few years ago, I was actually the author of that amendment. But, you know, it makes no sense to allow local governments to flout the law and then to say there are no consequences there. And further than that, many of them are assisting actively in allowing people to get around the law. So this is something I feel very strongly about. I tell you what I cannot do is tell you what's in this omnibus bill about sanctuary cities or frankly, about a lot of things. The bill has got to be published on the Internet. It was supposed to be printed. It's supposed to be disseminated on the Internet by midnight last night. They're still working out details. I'm told a few moments ago they will not make the deadline for tonight. And so under the rules of the Congress, this matter will be posted, and all of the provisions will be open to be read for a number of days.
So before most likely we'll have
the issue
short
can
term.
Be voted on. So we're looking at a weekend session in order to comply with those timelines.
And so probably we're going to see in the next 24 to 36 hours a short-term funding continuing resolution to get Congress into next week.
Well, I would have said that was overly pessimistic. I would have said that this past weekend, but it does look like human nature being what it is, that there's still a lot of items to be ironed out. There's not going to be a shutdown. I think I think both sides of the leadership have emphasized that. But we're at least 48 hours late getting this thing published.
All right. Well, we'll continue to watch that very closely to see what's in that when it is published. Senator Roger Wicker, thank you so much for joining us today, and thank you for your diligence on working on this important issue of the chaplains.
Well, yeah, and thank you for highlighting this issue. We do appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, Senator. Good to talk with you again. Senator Roger Wicker of Mississippi. Find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Coming up next, abortion groups are pushing the government in California to target pro-life pregnancy resource centers and force them to endorse a message of abortion. That was before the Supreme Court today. We talk about that next. Don't go away. Hello, this is Tony Perkins from Washington Watch. You know, in all my years here at the Family Research Council, one of the things that encourages me the most about you, our listeners, is your willingness to help advance the things that matter most, faith, family, and freedom. Your support is enabling FRC to play a major role in the current administration's actions to protect religious freedom, as well as rolling back threats to pastors' free speech rights, just to name a few. But your help is needed for the work ahead as we seek to protect religious freedom in the military and finally defund Planned Parenthood. Please stand with FRC right at this moment. You can make your gift by going to TonyPerkins.com or make a gift by calling 1-800-225-4008. Again, our number, 800-225-4008, or go to TonyPerkins.com. God bless you, and may God bless the United States of America.
Hi there. Let's play a word association game. Are you ready? When I say Washington, D.C., what's the first thing you think of? If you're like many Americans, a word like corruption might top the list, but Christian might be the last thing you'd associate with Washington, D.C. Well, the truth is that Christians have voice in our nation's capital. For over 35 years, Family Research Council has been working daily to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. When the Christian worldview is being pushed out of the public, FRC is there to stand firm on a biblical vision for America. Will you stand with us? To learn more about Family Research Council and to find out how you can stand with us in defense of faith, family, and freedom, please visit FRC.org and follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest news and ways you can take action. Again, that's FRC.org. Most people remember Frederick Douglass as a fiery speaker who denounced slavery and advocated for the civil rights of African Americans and women. What is less known is Douglass's commitment to faith and family. In an exclusive FRC Speaker Series event, Reverend Dean Nelson and Colin Hanna explore the life of Douglass as a Christian minister, husband, and father, and examine how his legacy can be an example for Christian citizenship today. To view this important event, go to frc.org/Douglass.
Where is our country headed? Are we moving in the right direction? Mark your calendar for the Values Voter Summit on September 21st to 23rd in Washington, D.C. and join hundreds of Americans that want a culture in which human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers include President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, House Speaker Paul Ryan, Kirk Cameron, Kellyanne Conway, Secretary Ben Carson, and Sean Hannity. Don't miss the early bird price of $99 at valuesvotersummit.org.
This is Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon. First day of spring, and snow is on its way here in the nation's capital. It was quite chilly this morning up there on the steps of the state capitol, the Supreme Court, rather. All right, the so-called Reproductive Fact Act, which became law in October of 2015, forces medically licensed pregnancy care centers to post signs with information on where women can go to receive free abortions and provide a phone number where they can actually call to be referred to an abortion center such as Planned Parenthood. This is requiring privately funded care pregnancy centers. There's about 2,500 of them across the country, serve about, 2.56 million people a year. Well, California, it's clear what they're trying to do, shut them down. Noncompliance with this mandate could result in massive fines that would undoubtedly shut down pro-life centers, which is the point I made this morning at the rally outside the Supreme Court as the justices heard the oral arguments in the case. Well, joining us now is Kevin Terrio. He is with Alliance Defending Freedom and one of the attorneys on the case. Kevin, welcome back to Washington Watch.
It's great to be back on, Tony. Glad to be here.
And it was good to see you this morning. I know we ran into each other before you made it to the court this morning. Now, you've been working on this case since day one. In your opinion, how did it go today before the high court?
Well, we really think it went well. I think the court understood that this is really a free speech case. And when the government is in the business of targeting organizations that they disagree with and then forcing them to say a message that contradicts what they really believe and the foundation what they believe, that really strikes at the heart of the First Amendment. And I think most, if not all, the justices understood that and were concerned.
I noticed that in the line of questions that were asked. And it was interesting, Mike Ferris, who's now president of Alliance Defending Freedom, a longtime friend, was representing the network of pro-life clinics. He was asked about, well, what about the requirement that many states have the right to know laws for those undergoing abortion? And I think he made a very good response to that question in pointing out there's a big difference here. We're not talking about a medical procedure that's being conducted. We're talking about even advertising And one of the Supreme Court justices actually asked about a advertisement that just had two words, choose life. What was the response?
Well, you're exactly right. Justice Kennedy said, what if they had a billboard that said choose life? Would they have to put a disclaimer on there that basically drowned out that message in the same size font? And of course, they asked the state of California that question. The California eventually, after much hand-wringing and crawfishing a little bit, had to say yes.
I mean, I think that was so revealing because the justice said two words, choose life. If you had a billboard that said choose life, here's what you would have to put on that billboard, according to California law. California has public programs that provide immediate, free, or low-cost access to comprehensive family planning services, including all FDA-approved methods of contraception, prenatal care, and abortion for eligible women. To determine whether you qualify, contact the county social services at, and then you have to list the phone number. And as I understand it, you have to do that in multiple languages.
Right. So the license disclosure, which you're talking about, that license centers have to give, has to be in multiple languages also, and has to be given to women when they come in for the first time on a visit, so that they're discouraged, really, from even developing a relationship with them. And they're essentially, as you mentioned earlier, referring them to Planned Parenthood for an abortion when their very purpose is to encourage women to choose life.
So this clearly is designed to stifle any type of advertising of these free services by these pro-life pregnancy care centers by, you know, just a word, two words, choose life. You'd had to have, you know, this paragraph and a half mandated by the state. So you would finally say, what's the point? Why even advertise? And so I think that part of that was brought out before the court today. And it did, and I wasn't in there, but just in reading about the questions from the justices, it sounds like the majority of them got that.
I think they did. And one of the last things that Justice Sotomayor said, that if this billboard, which only has two words, is required to contain this 29-word disclaimer mandated by the state, that's very problematic. That's a concern, I believe, is what she said. So all of the justices are really protective of free speech. And I think they saw eventually that this is a very dangerous law, not only for pro-life centers, but anybody who values speech. If
right.
the government can compel you which
yeah.
to say, what you can say, then all liberty is at stake and is at jeopardy.
So, Kevin Terrio, what happened since this law passed in 2015? How has this impacted these care pregnancy centers? Kevin, did we lose you? I think we may have lost him. Well, here's the fine structure. Okay, $500 for the first offense. And $1,000 a day for if you don't correct it. Kevin, you back with us?
I am. Sorry about that, Tony.
Yeah, that's right. What has happened to these care pregnancy centers since this law has passed in California?
Well, they've definitely been very intimidated by the law because if they don't comply with it, they could be subjected to fines of up to thousands of dollars. And so many of them are very concerned. There has been at least some attempt to prosecute, a threat of prosecution against some of these pregnancies in L.A., and they are very concerned and very hopeful that the court will enter an injunction protecting them.
When do you think the court will rule on this case?
I think the court will likely rule the last week of June in a case like this. That's probably most typical.
This will be a big decision that will have implications across the country. Kevin Terrio, as always, great to have you on the program. Again, we appreciate all that ADF does to defend free speech and religious freedom.
You're certainly welcome, Tony. I appreciate you having me.
All right. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about that because I want you to see how onerous this really is. But coming up next, we've got more Washington Watch to come. Republicans depending, we'll just see what happens. All right, Andy Biggs joins us next to talk about the budget negotiations. Don't go away. Hello, this is Tony Perkins with the Family Research Council here in Washington, and we're defending and advancing the things that matter most, faith, family, and freedom. Please stand with us right now. Our work depends on people like you who truly care about the future of our nation. You can make your gift by going to TonyPerkins.com or by calling toll-free 800-225-4008. Again, our number, 800-225-4008 or at TonyPerkins.com.
Most people remember Frederick Douglass as a fiery speaker who denounced slavery and advocated for the civil rights of African Americans and women. What is less known is Douglass's commitment to faith and family. In an exclusive FRC Speaker Series event, Reverend Dean Nelson and Colin Hanna explore the life of Douglass as a Christian minister, husband, and father, and examine how his legacy can be an example for Christian citizenship today. To view this important event, go to frc.org/Douglass. Who is speaking up for Christians in Washington, D.C.? For over 35 years, Family Research Council has been your voice for advancing faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview in our nation's capital. Stand with us as we defend the truth and preserve the vision that our founding fathers had for this country. To learn more about FRC, go to frc.org and follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest news.
Gender reassignment surgery. Once rare and unusual, it is now becoming more and more common. This is because transgender activists are pushing for this costly, extreme, and unproven procedure to be declared medically necessary so that it can be paid for with taxpayer dollars. Yet even the federal government has stated that there is no evidence that gender reassignment surgery has improved health outcomes. To view FRC's full report on this important issue, visit frc.org/surgery.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along again with us on this Tuesday afternoon. All right, the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, as we were discussing earlier at the end of our conversation with Senator Wicker, the spending bill was supposed to be out, the proposed omnibus spending bill, $1.2 trillion, was supposed to be already out. However, there are still some sticking points, and lawmakers on both sides of the aisle, including the White House team, wrestled late into the night last night and actually into this morning over various provisions of the spending bill, including the border wall, a huge New York infrastructure project that Mr. Schumer is pushing, and even the special counsel at the Russia investigation. It does not look like, as we were talking, they're going to meet the deadline, and so there's going to be another short-term spending bill most likely come out in the next 24 hours to get Congress into next week. Joining us now is Congressman Andy Biggs. He represents the 5th Congressional District of Arizona. He is a member of the House Judiciary, Science, Space, and Technology Committees and is the chairman of the Environmental Subcommittee. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. Birthday greetings to you, by the way.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that very much. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right. Where do we stand? Are we, from the standpoint of the Freedom Caucus, conservatives in the House, anywhere near having a spending bill that might draw support of conservatives?
I don't think so, Tony. I mean, I think they're going to load this thing up, in my opinion, like a Christmas tree, where the moderate side and the Democrats are going to get what they want, and which is always more spending. And the conservatives who, like myself, would like to see spending reductions so we could start nudging towards maybe getting balanced at least a little bit, more towards balanced anyway. It's not going to happen.
There's this project, $900 million, $1 billion, basically, in funding for the Gateway Tunnel Project in New York. This is a priority for Senator Schumer. That's one of the issues. Apparently, the White House is opposed to it. Donald Trump knows a little bit about New York and building, and apparently he's not a fan of it. Another sticking point, immigration, the border wall. And then the Democrats pushing provisions to protect the special counsel. So this is, you know, I don't know how we get anything done in Congress when you've got especially Democrats in the minority basically calling a lot of the shots.
Yeah, it's really, quite frankly, one of the most frustrating things that you can do. And the excuse is always, and it's partly a reason and mostly an excuse, and that is that the Senate has a 60-vote rule. So you got to get 60 votes on anything. Well, why doesn't the Senate change it? I don't think it's a fair representation of the individuals in each state. They we're being our vote in the Senate is being diluted by that, are diluted by it, and it's a mess. But
the president's actually called for that now. He is out there saying we need to change that 60-vote threshold.
He's exactly right. That's why you have hundreds of bills from the House that are just sitting over there in the Senate with no action on it. That's why to get Neil Gorsuch on the Supreme Court, they suspended the rule for that. And so they need to suspend the rules on this and change it, because this is not representation for Americans who elected the Trump agenda, a conservative, fiscally conservative agenda, and we can't get it out. Instead, we're going to increase our deficit so that by the end of this calendar year, we will be probably $22 trillion in debt.
Yeah. I mean, we're very close to being at that point. I mean, this, Andy, this has to be one of the most difficult aspects of being in Congress, is because, you know, you want to be fiscally responsible. I mean, that's the mandate. We cannot continue funding, as you pointed out, the way we are. We need to bring the budget back into balance. But when conservative members like yourself, Freedom Caucus members, Mark Meadows and the crew, which we wholeheartedly support, you know, when they can't support a budget bill, then they go to Democrats to support the budget bill to get the votes they need to pass this. And that only makes it worse, because to get their support, they got to put even worse stuff into it.
Yeah, absolutely right. So in my legislative experience, you see people go always towards the middle and then to the left, and they rarely come to the right. And yet they all ran as conservatives, you know. Everybody ran as a conservative. And I will tell you that most conservatives, even me maybe, would say if you are moving in the right direction towards a balanced budget, it may not go as far as I want it to, but as long as you're moving in the right direction, you're shrinking your deficit, we would come along, and then you
That's
would
a good point.
Make your deal over there. But they do. They always want to make that other deal.
That is an extremely important point to make, that oftentimes the conservatives said, well, they're just obstructionists. They won't work. They won't give. What you're saying is just move in that direction and we will be with you. But show us a pathway forward to fiscal responsibility.
Absolutely.
Andy, as always, great to talk with you. Thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks, Tony. Have a good one.
You too. Andy Biggs, congressman from the 5th Congressional District of Arizona. All right, when we come back, we take your phone calls and, hey, the topics we talked about, atheist chaplains. We can talk about the budget. We can talk about California. And they're not the only state. Other states trying to silence pro-life clinics. That's next. Your phone calls here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Somewhere out there right now, a teacher is using a new technique. Not to teach some new math method, but to control the emotions of children in the classroom. Sounds like a conspiracy theory, doesn't it? It's not. Social-emotional learning, known as SEL, is a new catchphrase that now dominates public education policy. However, hidden behind the SEL claim of building kids' self-confidence is a statist agenda of social engineering that insists on total conformity of thought. It disregards the genuine individuality of students and their family relationships and requires monitoring and tracking of their emotions. Don't miss FRC's new speaker series event featuring Stella Morabito, in which she discusses how SEL is programming our children by enforcing conformity, invading privacy, and undermining the influence of family and faith in a child's life. Learn more at frc.org/SEL. Again, that's frc.org/SEL.
Most people remember Frederick Douglass as a fiery speaker who denounced slavery and advocated for the civil rights of African Americans and women. What is less known is Douglass's commitment to faith and family. The month of February marked the bicentennial of Frederick Douglass's birth, so it is a fitting time to reflect on the legacy of this great author, scholar, humanitarian, and entrepreneur who served five United States presidents. In an exclusive Family Research Council Speaker Series event, Reverend Dean Nelson, chairman of the board for the Frederick Douglass Foundation, and Colin Hanna, president of Let Freedom Ring, explore the life of Douglass as a Christian minister, a husband, and a father, and examine how his legacy can be an example for Christian citizenship today. To view this important event, go to frc.org/Douglass. Again, that is frc.org/Douglass.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins with the Family Research Council here in Washington, and we're defending and advancing the things that matter most, faith, family, and freedom. Please stand with us right now. Our work depends on people like you who truly care about the future of our nation. You can make your gift by going to TonyPerkins.com or by calling toll-free 800-225-4008. Again, our number, 800-225-4008 or at TonyPerkins.com.
Who is speaking up for Christians in Washington, D.C.? For over 35 years, Family Research Council has been your voice for advancing faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview in our nation's capital. Stand with us as we defend the truth and preserve the vision that our founding fathers had for this country. To learn more about FRC, go to frc.org and follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest news.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. We're glad that you are listening. And you can find out more resources by going to TonyPerkins.com. Okay, the phone number, many of you already have it memorized because the call lines are lit up, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. We're talking about atheist chaplains. I'll let you talk about it. California, leave it to California, passing a law back in October 2015 that would forced pregnancy care centers to post signs basically telling people who come in, you can go over here and get a free abortion. So having to promote the very thing that they are against, and those that they were promoting, most of them entities that get state and federal dollars, where these care pregnancy centers all privately funded. And we actually know quite a bit about this because we actually put together a few years back a comprehensive study called Passion to Serve, which looked at in depth the care pregnancy center movement across the country and the history of it. And there's roughly, and I think 2,600 of these care pregnancy centers across the country, serving, as I mentioned earlier, somewhere over 2.5 million clients a year. Now, here's something to note. The average, about half are at this point, in terms of the clinics, their revenue, annual revenue gifts coming to them is about $125,000, $150,000 or less. All right, so you do the math. The fine, first time, $500, and if you don't come into compliance, it's $1,000 a day. Well, it doesn't take long until you're out of business. Well, I think that's part of it. I think that's their intention. And this is the left. This is how we see this across the board, the intolerance of the left wanting to silence anyone who would challenge them. Because they're trying to defend something that's indefensible. Taking the life of unborn children and simply offering mothers an option of life, and they don't want that out there. All right, we're going to go to the phone lines, 866-372-7234. Let's go to Daniel in Louisiana. Daniel, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi. Hello.
How you doing?
Doing fine. Yeah, I just wanted to, how are you doing? That's Perkins, happy birthday.
Thank you, thank you. I'm doing quite well for 55. I'm doing well, thank you.
Yeah, I was in the Marine Corps, and I'm in the Army Reserve now, and Chaplain, I mean, it means you have, he's a religious worker, and they personally believe in God, and, you know, administers to people who believe in God also, and just the whole atheist thing, just they don't believe in God, or they don't even believe there is a God, so those two just don't mix. Like, it's like an oxymoron, like hot, cold fire, or you know, something like that. It just doesn't make sense.
You are absolutely right. And as we were talking about with Senator Wicker, it's not that atheists don't have a right to serve. They certainly have a right to serve. But if they're wanting someone to talk to, counseling, I mean, they go to a counselor or they go to a psychiatrist who, you know, for the most part, works from a, you know, I'm not going to say humanist because they're not necessarily humanists, but they're not coming at it from a religious perspective, which is what a chaplain does. That's what chaplains do. Daniel, thanks so much for the call, and thank you for your service. Appreciate you listening to Washington Watch. It's all a part of this effort to marginalize faith. And if you can say, well, there's no difference between having an atheist chaplain, and if, think through that, an atheist does not believe there's a God. So why would you be a chaplain? Be a counselor. They have counselors. Be a psychiatrist, psychologist. They have those in the military. So you don't have to be a chaplain. Chaplain is a faith-based element of the military, going all the way back to George Washington. But this really does need to be nipped in the bud. I would hope that Mattis would take care of this as the Secretary of Defense, and not the President would not have to be bothered with it. All right, let's go to Roger in Missouri. Roger, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yes, sir. My name is Roger Clark, and I am a Vietnam vet on the Piedmont, and I was 4 years in. We had one chaplain like that that had to be helped on a ship that was drunk. The second time I run across the chaplain, the guy was a perfect man of God. It's like that. And they don't need an atheist in there, because how are they going to comfort somebody that sees his friend get blowed up or just killed like that? Guys need somebody there that can give them spiritual guidance, not to look at their belly button. Like that.
Very true.
I appreciate all the things you do, because I listen to you all the time on bot radio stations like that, and I want to thank you for all the hard work you do, and thanks to all the people that call in and support you too, sir.
Well, thank you, Roger. I appreciate that. I do, and I can speak this as a Marine veteran. In fact, I was a chaplain's assistant for a time as the lay leader in my platoon. You know, there are times in life when we face challenges. Roger just mentioned some of them, when you lose friends in combat. That you begin to be introspective, and you begin to focus on the big questions of life, which we all do at some point in time. And it's important to have someone who can help you walk through that from a spiritual perspective, and that's what chaplains do. They don't, Senator Wicker said, they don't proselytize in the military, but they're there to be able to counsel from their faith perspective and their denominational perspective. Roger, thanks so much for listening. Appreciate you being a part of the listening audience of Washington Watch. 866-372-7234. Let's go to Carol in Texas. Carol, welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, it sounds like a happy birthday is in order.
Well, thank you, Carol. But I'm having a very happy birthday. My team actually fixed grilled cheese sandwiches for me for lunch, and they made a birthday cake out of grilled cheese sandwiches. So it was quite good.
Well, you share a birthday with my son-in-law, so it's a good day. But
great.
I was listening to the kind of the thing on the atheist chaplains, and the only word that could come to mind was oxymoron.
Mm-hmm.
What what kind of spiritual advice could an atheist chaplain give to a person who comes to them in need? None.
Not when they do not believe. They believe completely in the material. They do not believe in God. And so what, I mean, it's humanist advice. It's advice that is unrelated to the fact that we are created by God in His image, and therefore we live or should live according to the guidelines that He provides. That's what spiritual guidance is.
That is our roadmap, our guide is the Bible, you know, the Word of God, and they definitely wouldn't be getting anything from that. And I know that my son has utilized the chaplaincy service several times, you know, during when he was deployed. He would come back, and he would often, if they would come back and move, one of the first things he would do would be to talk to the chaplain until they could find a local church and then get involved and plugged in there. And that service is just, it is so essential and so necessary for these guys. And what they need is good, strong, biblical advice.
Yeah. And they're at a point, often they're at a point where they're receptive to that. And I think that's a part of the left's push, is they know that these young men and women who even outside of combat, it doesn't have to be combat. Just the fact that, you know, 18, 19 years old, you are put into a completely different environment, physically challenging, emotionally challenging, and you see it. I mean, people say, wait a minute, what why am I here? What am I doing? And they do pause for a moment, and that is a time in which they seek that spiritual guidance and help, which many will tell you is life transforming, because it may be the first time they've been brought to a point of truly understanding the limits of their humanity, and that there's got to be more to life. Carol, thanks so much for the call and for being a faithful listener to Washington Watch. All right, let's go to Richard. Richard, welcome to Washington Watch.
Happy birthday, son.
Well, thank you, Dad. See, there's my dad listening to Washington Watch, another veteran.
Yeah.
Thanks so
much. Yeah, the weather today was just about like the weather was when you were born 55 years ago. When we went to the hospital that night, it was warm. Windy. Don't know that had anything to do with it, warm and windy. And then the next day, it was kind of cool. That's the way it was here today. So it's a reminder of your birthday.
Well, thank you, Dad. I appreciate that. Some say it's still windy when I'm around, but that's all right.
Yeah, you know, I had to go to work the next day. You know, it was one of those times when if you didn't go to work, you got fired. I mean, that was just the way work was back then. Nowadays, they kind of give them time off for when you have a new child. So it was a good time.
Well, I tell you what, take the day off today, all right?
Now I'm setting up for the men's meeting right now.
Yeah, all right.
David,
well.
Yeah, David's helping me. Your son, David, he's helping. We're getting set up for the men's meeting at church.
All right, well, folks, if you're in Baton Rouge, you can go over to Greenville Springs Baptist Church tonight. They got a men's meeting, 7 o'clock?
6.
6 o'clock.
Pizza and popcorn.
Right.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
It does. Pizza and popcorn. Can't beat that on a Tuesday night. That sounds like a birthday meal.
That's right. Yeah, we'll celebrate for you.
All right. Thanks for the call, Dad. Love you.
Love you, man. Take care.
All right. Now, how many radio talk show hosts get the unique privilege of having their dad listen and call in and wish them happy birthday? I'm blessed, truly am. Blessed with a wonderful mom, dad, wonderful wife, 5 wonderful kids. So just blessed on this day. All right, let's work in a couple more. Well, we're going to work in one more call here. Let's go very quickly to Joe in Ohio. Joe, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. Thanks for all that you do. Thanks for your guest. I enjoyed Andy and his insights. I mean, you could almost feel the frustration here and feel the frustration in his voice. I'd like to encourage the Illinois conservatives to get out and vote. We've got to get more conservatives in Washington, no matter where they come from, outside of the city limits there in Chicago. We do have some red districts there. You know, of course, Mitch McConnell's from a red state, and it's frustrating. I know we got Boehner out of there with a no-confidence vote. I was wondering what you thought about possibly doing the same thing with McConnell. You just know that the Democrats pass whatever they want to pass without 60 votes. We got Gorsuch through with 50, 51 votes. I don't understand. Democrats would do it in a heartbeat. And it's like they got one set of rules for the Democrats, another set of rules for the Republicans. And I lay a lot of it at the feet of Mitch McConnell. He has no backbone. He's not I don't believe he's a true conservative. He's got no backbone. He's not a leader. And I think it's a time for a no confidence vote in the Senate. I'll hang up and listen to your reply.
All right, Joe. Well, we're just about out of time, but they're. Prior to the Alabama election, the special election there to fill Jeff Sessions' seat, there was something afoot there that may have led to the replacement of Mitch McConnell. When that seat was lost, there was a kind of a shift of focus. A lot of people are frustrated that the Senate has not moved really much of anything. And the rules, and I, you know, I could have them on, and they would debate, and they would give you reasons not to change it. And you know, I just know that people are frustrated, and people want to see things done. And the Senate is a place where most good ideas and bills go to die. Very little happens in the Senate. Years ago, I ran for the U.S. Senate back in 2002, and frankly, I'm glad I didn't win because I think I would be frustrated beyond belief. And I know many of the good men and women who serve in there, those that are true conservatives, are frustrated because they cannot get anything done. And maybe it is time to look at changing those rules so that you can change, you can pass laws just like you can over in the House with the majority saying, yes, we want to do this. Anyway. Joe, a lot of folks share your frustration. All right, folks, out of time once again for today. Thank you so much for joining us. Sorry we didn't get to the rest of the calls, but Lord willing, there'll be another time. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he tells us when we've done everything we can do, when we've prayed and we've taken our stand, We're to keep standing no matter what. Have a great night.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.